Welcome to Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Broder, and today we'll be continuing in Sefer Yonah with Perek Gimel. This perek starts out with Yonah on dry land, and Hashem calling out to him with the words, Kum lechal Nineveh ha'ir ha'gdola ukra aleha. These are the exact same words with which Hashem had called out to Yonah back in Perek Aleph. Hashem does this in order to put Yonah in the same situation that he had been in before, allowing Yonah to prove that he had done full teshuva. The Rambam tells us that the way to know if a person has undergone complete repentance is when he finds himself in the same situation as when he sinned, but now takes the correct action. Hashem is giving Yonah this opportunity now, and Yonah rises to the occasion. Last time, Yonah's reaction was, Vayakam Yonah livroch Tarshisha milifnei Hashem. Yonah gets up and flees to Tarshish from before Hashem. This time we are told, Vayakam Yonah vayelech el Nineveh kidvar Hashem. Yonah gets up and goes to Nineveh according to the word of Hashem. The similarities in the structure of the psukim, as well as the cadence and the language, let us know to compare them and realize that Yonah had done wholehearted tshuva. So Yonah goes into the city of Nineveh and proclaims, Od arba'im yom v'Nineveh nehapachat. In another 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. The word nehapachat really means transformed. Whatever happens with Nineveh in the next 40 days, it won't be the same city as it is now. If they continue with their current behavior, Nineveh will be destroyed. But if they repent and change their ways, Nineveh's transformation will be in a spiritual sense. All it took were these five words that Yonah spoke, and Vayaminu anshe Nineveh be'elokim, the people of Nineveh believed in the prophecy of Hashem. Radak explains why the people of Nineveh were quick to believe Yonah. He says that the sailors who had been on the boat with Yonah had come to Nineveh after going to Tarshish and had told the people of Nineveh what had transpired on the boat. After hearing the astounding story and then seeing that Yonah had survived, they believed the prophecy. And the pasuk tells us, Vayikru tzom v'yilbashu sakim. They proclaimed a fast and donned sackcloth. This was the nation's spontaneous reaction to Yonah's warning. In Pasuk Vav, the king makes these actions of fasting and wearing sackcloth into an official decree. But there's an astonishing element to the king's edict. In Pasuk Zion, he declares, Ha'adam v'ha'behema, ha'bakar v'ha'tzon, al yitamu mu'uma, al yiru, umayim al yishtu. People and animals aren't allowed to eat and drink anything. Vayidkasu sakim ha'adam v'ha'behema. People and animals should wear sackcloth. Why would the king of Nineveh include animals in his decree? We'll discuss a theory about this shortly. The king's edict also tells the people of Nineveh, Vayashuvu ish midarko hara'a o min ha'chamas asher b'chapehem, that the people should turn back from their evil ways and from the chamas that they're committing. The people seem to obey the king's decree, because in Pasuk Yud, Hashem suspends his decision to destroy the city of Nineveh, because Vayar ha'elokim et ma'aseihem ki shavu midarkam hara'a. Hashem saw their deeds in which they had turned back from their evil ways. The Mishnah in Tana says that there's an important message that we can learn from this pasuk. The Mishnah writes, Lo sak b'ta nit gormim. It's not sackcloth and fasting that cause us to be forgiven for our sins. Ela tshuvo masim tovim gormim. Rather, it's repentance and good deeds. Shekein matzinu ba'anshe Nineveh. And we know this from the people of Nineveh. Shalona amar bahem vayar halokim et sakam ve'et tanitam. It doesn't say about them that Hashem saw their sackcloth and their fasting. Ela vayar halokim et masehem ki shavu midakam hara'a. Instead, it says that Hashem saw their deeds, that they had turned from their evil ways. The lesson for us is not to mistake the outer actions that we take on fast days as what bring about atonement. Rather, these behaviors are meant as tools to put us in the frame of mind to evaluate our actions and do tshuva for our misdeeds. Given this pasuk in Sefer Yonah, that Hashem revoked his decree because he saw that Nineveh had turned away from sinning, it's surprising to learn that the rabbis disagree about the extent and the sincerity of Nineveh's tshuva. One opinion maintains that Nineveh did wholehearted tshuva, but the other opinion says that it was only superficial repentance. Let's understand both views, because this will have significance for the rest of the Sefer. Shmuel views Nineveh as having engaged in the ideal tshuva. He says that not only did the people of Nineveh return stolen property that they had readily at hand, but they even dismantled their houses to return beams that they had stolen. To understand what Shmuel is talking about, let's learn a halacha from a Mishnah in Gittin, which teaches that usually a person must return the exact item that he stole to the owner. However, if a person stole a beam and then used it to build a house, he need not break down his house in order to return that beam. Instead, he is permitted to pay the monetary value of that beam to the owner. The reason for this is that the rabbis knew that if the halacha caused an exorbitant loss to the thief, he would likely be unwilling to admit his crime and to repay it. When speaking about the people of Nineveh, Shmuel says that their repentance was so thorough that they didn't want to use this halachic loophole. They were so sincere in their tshuva that they went beyond the letter of the law and even demolished their houses if they had built it using a stolen beam. Shmuel's position is consistent with the pasuk that says that Hashem didn't destroy Nineveh because they had turned back from their evil ways. Rabbi Yochanan takes the opposite perspective and says that Nineveh engaged in a surface-level tshuva. He bases his opinion on the words in Pasuk Chet, which state that the people turned back from hachamas asher b'chapehem, the thievery that was in their hands. Why didn't the pasuk simply say that the people returned their stolen property? Why does it qualify that they returned the items that were in their hands? Rabbi Yochanan posits that the people of Nineveh returned the stolen goods that were visible and known to everyone, but they didn't give back items that were hidden away. And this is because they didn't actually engage in a profound, meaningful change, but just enough to appease Hashem to save them from destruction. Support for Yochanan's position can also be seen in the speed with which the people of Nineveh seem to have repented. As we all know, real, enduring tshuva is not instantaneous, but a process. However, there's no mention of Nineveh reflecting on their misdeeds. As we mentioned before, Yonah said but five words, and Nineveh rushed to action. How deep could that swift repentance really have been? And then we have the strange decree for the animals to fast and wear sackcloth. What is this about? Such action isn't necessary if one is engaged in genuine tshuva. As we said, the outer manifestations are meant to bring about inner contemplation. How could denying animals food and dressing them in sackcloth have any bearing on this process? On the other hand, if one is trying to give the appearance of penitence and contrition, then they might just engage in this type of display. And there's one more pasuk that bolsters Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. At the end of Perek Dalet, which we'll be discussing in the next shiur, Hashem tells Yonah that he didn't destroy Nineveh because lo yada ben yamino l'smolo. They don't know their right from their left. We'll discuss what Hashem meant by this next time. But even on the surface level, if Nineveh had done sincere tshuva, Hashem could have simply expressed that as the reason that he didn't destroy them. They were given an ultimatum to either do tshuva or to be annihilated, and they chose the former. The fact that Hashem doesn't say this as his reason for not destroying them is an indictment of the level of tshuva in which Nineveh engaged. If this is the case, and Nineveh's tshuva was half-hearted, we have to wonder why Hashem accepted it. I look forward to discussing this fascinating question next time. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Gilbert Carcenti, Menachem Mendel Ben Sa'ud.